I'm excited to be able to introduce Brother Ryberg, and I guess I scared some of you. I've had four or five people walk up and say, "Now, this Colonel Ryberg, is he a preacher?" I said, no, he's just a speaker. He's a lecturer that goes around the country providing patriotic lectures. No, this is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. Yeah. Right? He retired when God called him into full-time service, retired from 27 years of active duty, and then went wholeheartedly, full force, into the missions work for military evangelism. Yes. And he's going to present some of his work. He's going to preach and speak. He's got a great presentation that I think you're just going to enjoy so much. And I appreciate this man. There's a kindred spirit as soon as I met him. Brother Joe Asbury isn't here this morning. He was hoping to make it. Please pray for Connie. Connie is not doing very well. And church, we really need to pray for her. She did a 3 or 4 day stay in the hospital this week. Her heart is weakening. She's fighting. She's just having a tough time. So if you'd remember to pray for her. But Brother Joe and me went out to Oklahoma, and I think one of the main reasons God wanted us to go out there for those 3 days to that meeting at Heartland Baptist College was so that I could meet this guy right here. I'm convinced of that. It was a divine appointment. And he's encouraging, been in very much an encouragement and a source of wisdom towards what we're trying to do here. And I'm excited. I want you to listen with an open heart. Folks, we need to reach our military folks for Christ. Amen. It's no longer just a weekend game.
That's right.
It's life or death.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. We're in a war. It's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And I think the Bible tells us that.
That's right.
And we need to just decide that we're going to do something about it. And it's just another hook in the water. It's not the only thing we do here, but it's an important ministry here. And Brother Ryberg has got a heart for this, and he's going to educate us and preach to us, and I'm excited to bring him to the pulpit. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Amen, Pastor. Praise God. Hey, if you didn't enjoy that special music by those young men, if that didn't bless your thumping gizzard, you need to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. What a good old patriotic God and country day. Hey, the Bible clearly tells us in Psalm 107, verse 2, that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you in church. Yes, I'm not John the Baptist. This is not camel's hair and my leather girdle. But this is my native missionary dress. Okay? I'm a missionary to those in the armed forces of the United States of America. We're a nation at war. This is my battle dress uniform. That's why I have it on. And, hey, y'all need to come to that tent meeting tonight. I'm telling you, I get to wear my dress blues and look fancy and all that stuff, all right? I'll be fancy tonight. So come tonight, and I get to preach tonight. I'm going to sort of preach, teach, talk, do a lot of things this morning. Have a good time in the Lord. And challenge your hearts. Challenge your hearts with the Word of God. All at the same time. Can you believe a Marine can do that? Hey, in the Marine Corps, when we have a motivational call, okay? And we get excited about what we do. We have a mission. Our mission is to go forth, destroy the enemy forces of our God and our country. Amen. That is our mission. I get excited that God's given me a mission to do. And for 27 and a half years, I walked around, I was excited, motivated. That's why Christians go, amen. It's okay, say amen. It's all right. David said it. I mean, God put it in the Word of God. But we have that. And my army brethren, how many army brethren? Amen. They go, huh, huh. I say, hey, how's your day? Huh. What are you going to have for dinner tonight? Huh. What's your wife's name? Huh. I mean, they really go for it. And how many Air Force brethren do we have? Oh, got one? Amen. That's good. Just one. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, now I'm a pilot, and I've had little meetings with your Air Force pretty boys in blue pilots. That's right. And these pilots, I tell these guys, hey, man, you hop in that F-15, you get in that F-16, put it on full afterburner, go down that runway, zoom off. I says, don't y'all have a motivational call to get off there, you know, out into the wild blue yonder? Don't. No, man, we don't do that. I said, I saw a couple of guys the other day in the radio room. They're going around, wee! Woo-hoo! Amen. That's right. Don't mess with Marines, brother. And then, Pastor, how many Navy brethren do we have? Amen. Anchors away? Yes. Amen. Well, praise God. We're soldiers of the sea. The Navy transports the Marines to the farthest ends of the earth, dumps us off, and let us go fight and win our nation's war, okay? So the Navy guys are all right. So I get on my first ship, USS Spartanburg County, 1976. We head out to sea into the open ocean, and I'm having the blast of my life. Just enjoying it. Everybody go, huh! And then they go, hey, man, what's that? I says, hey, don't you Navy guys have a motivational call? Once you set sail and the anchor's away and you get out here, don't y'all... No, man, we don't do that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I saw you guys. Y'all were manning the rails. And they were just calling for Earl. I'm joking. That's all in jest. All in jest, all right? Praise God, amen. God's good, isn't he? You know, we can joke, we can have fun, but once that first shot is fired, let me tell you, we're a band of brothers. I kid you not. So, this morning, I have my heart. I want to share my heart with you. Normally, I'd be doing this in the evening service, but we're going to have a preaching service. Be there. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. Great singing as we had this morning. I'm excited about that. Pray for me. I have a speaking part. And you're going to hear a little bit more about this, the greatness of God in war. Please bring a friend. See a vet. Bring a vet. But I want to share my heart this morning. A lot of people ask me about how did I get so far in the military as a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Christian. I tell them, well, you just do what you're told and you'll get there. You just serve God. Do what he tells you to do and you'll get there. And I want to talk a little bit about my testimony, and then I'll talk about how God brought me into full-time, worldwide military evangelism, and then show you a little bit about what's going on in this war, okay? And we'll do that. It's sort of interesting how I tell people, Pastor, can we have somebody catch the lights around the auditorium? You see the smile on that Marine, brother? Amen. Why am I smiling? Number one, folks, I'm saved, all right? Hey, I got the joy of Jesus Christ in my heart, and you should be smiling too. Number two, I married the most beautiful girl in the world. Kathy, stand up, all right? 28 years of marriage. We're still on our honeymoon. This is why I'm here this morning. So nothing like that. Number three, I'm smiling because I love what I do. Now listen, I believe I'm in God's perfect divine will, period. For 27 and a half years, I was in God's perfect divine will as a Marine. He called me to do it. He gave me the wherewithal to do it, and now he's called me. And if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So let me give you the first challenge of the morning. Are you in God's perfect divine will for your life? Are you? Are you sure? And if you're not, you need to start praying like you've never prayed before because the time is short. Don't be miserable getting up and going to work. You do God's will. God may want you at that work, and he's teaching and training you with that bad boss to show you who you really are. Hey, the problem, no doubt, is with you and me. It's not with God if you're miserable where you are. So pray for that. I think God will give it to us. Look here. I tell folk, to be a Marine, you got to be just a little bit ugly, all right? Amen. But it's a happy ugly. All right, we can do that. Now, I asked, see that? Look. That's your pastor's baby picture. You didn't know that. Yeah, he likes to hide it. That's all right. Hey, as a young boy, I believe I was destined to be in the military. Guess which one I am? Huh? I'm a little guy right there, a little pistol. Just having a good time. Pastor, we were so poor. I'm a poor boy from Texas, Central Texas. We were so poor that I didn't realize pinto beans wasn't meat till I was 12 years old. And to this day, To this day, you can get a 2-pound bag of pinto beans and put a Vidalia onion in it and cook it up and serve a family of five for $1.67. And but praise God. Now, let me tell you about the greatest day of my life. Hey, I went to Bible youth camp. I'm going to give my whole testimony tonight. I want you to be there and hear that. And I want to speak to the heart of the veterans. But as a young 13-year-old boy, I went off to Bible camp in an open-air auditorium, chapel, in the middle of the summer. And this old pastor got up and said, "Hey, guys, you have a problem with sin. You're born with a sin nature. How many of you kept 10 commandments?" None of us could raise our hands because we knew we were sinners. Hey, we disobeyed mom and dad. We knew that. Stole, lied, cheat. We do that. It's natural. It's human nature. Then he said, "You have a problem with sin. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die one day because of your sin." And then he said, "There's a penalty of sin. And that penalty of sin is hell in the lake of fire." Never heard that before in my Lutheran church. Okay? And then he said, "But praise God, there's been a payment.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Holy Spirit conviction grabbed hold of my heart as a 13-year-old boy. I got down on my knees and I confessed my sin to the Lord. I changed my will to God's will, repented and accepted him as my personal Savior, and I've been saved and gloriously saved ever since. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here this morning and you have never received him into your heart, you need to do that before you leave. Nobody here leave today. Nobody leave unless you're 100% sure, if you were to die this very day, that you would be in heaven with our Lord. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life, the greatest day of my life, and it's the greatest day of yours if you have done that. So then, God's divine providence. His providence is great. Hey, when God's providence meets our responsibility and free will, great things happen. And so God providentially brought me into the Marine Corps. Guess which one I am? No? Nope. I'm the guy grinning. I grew up. Amen. So I'm called into the Marine Corps. And then God, out of his providence again, sends me to flight training. This is strange. I got an infantryman's heart. Okay? And at this time, the Marine Corps is 250 pilots short. And they said, "You're going to flight school." I says, "Why?" "Because you signed the dotted line." Amen? And that's it. So off I go to flight training. They said it would be simple. That's a propeller. That's a wheel. That's a wing. It wasn't that simple. Yeah, it wasn't that way. No, they taught aerodynamics. I've never heard of that word before in my life. Engineering, navigation, and I'm going through this stuff. I say, "Lord, why am I here? I'm the most miserable person on earth. I hate this." You ever been in that spot? You know why you're in that spot? Some of you may be in that spot this morning. God has put you in a circumstance, put you in a box to see what you're going to do. You don't quit. You don't pout. And you don't lose faith. You know it's a sin to complain? I don't want to go there this morning, but it's a sin to complain. If you believe Romans 8:28, folks, God put you in a box for a reason. And God put me in a box here, and I started looking up, saying, "Lord, what's in this for me?" Because well, let me tell you what happened. Sailor knocked on my door. The flight training here is sailors and Marines, and at that time also Iranians. How about that? And I'm down there in flight training. Sailor knocks on my door, and he wants to use my phone to call his fiance. I said, "Hey, does your fiance have a roommate? I'm looking for a date." Okay. And this is what this sailor told me. He said, "Yeah, my fiance has two roommates, but they're not your type." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, they go to church, read their Bible. They're teachers in a Christian school." See, my testimony really wasn't what it should be. See, I got saved at 13. I'm 23 now. And I have wandered around church to church that said Baptist, but it wasn't a Bible-believing, fundamental, independent, Bible-preaching, teaching church. I learned to love everybody, but that's where it stopped. Thank God for your pastor, folks. Thank God. You got a pastor, I'm telling you, that loves you. And he prays for you. And I tell you right now, as a man after God's own heart, you pray for your pastor. You don't know the burdens on your pastor's shoulders until you've been one. So thank God for your church. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God that You're learning. Well, I says, hey, look, I can come to church. I told that sailor I'd be to church Wednesday night. I show up Wednesday night. I walk in that church, and they were happy to be there. I've never seen that. Never seen it. They sang like they meant it. Never heard that before. And Dr. Dayton Hobbs, I'll never forget it. He gets up in the pulpit, and he says, turn in your Bibles. I hadn't heard that before. Okay? That's how bad things were. Wow. He said, turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. And he said, we're going to read verses 5 through 9. And then he started preaching like I hadn't heard preaching since the day I got saved. He said, God is light. In him is no darkness. Either you're walking in the light or you're in the dark. There's no gray area with God. Boy, that penetrated. If there ever was a fence straddler, it was a guy like me. Trying to put one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and trying to figure out what's right and wrong. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
So the Word of God pierced me that night. God is light. In Him is no darkness. Hey, folks, are you in the light today or are you in the dark? And if you're in the gray area, you better get out. This really captured my heart. I went back that night, pulled my Bible off my shelf, and I started reading as a young 23-year-old man the book of Proverbs. Boy, God's Word spoke to my heart. Then a guy named Bill Hall came down 3 weeks later and preached this thing called a revival. And boy, I got revived. I got so revived, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning and you've never surrendered your all, and you're sort of in that gray area, this morning you need to make a decision. Either to serve Christ or serving self. That's the only two choices on the shelf. So where are you with God this morning? First challenge, are you in God's perfect divine will? Second challenge, are you serving God like you should? So I'm down there. God sent me to flight training. I'm in this church. I get surrendered. I'm ready to get out now and go to Bible school. Hey, remember that sailor's fiance that had those two roommates? Well, I got a date with one, and then God allowed us to get married. Amen! Praise God! Hey, I dated a girl 6 years, and joined the Marine Corps. She dumped me, all right? Praise God for that. I cried 2 weeks, and then it was over. And, I just wish I had all that money back. But I tell you, the second greatest day of your life is when God brings you your mate. Pastor, I grinned so hard that day, my cheeks hurt for 3 weeks, all right? Hey, so then God gave me a mission. This is what I did in the Marine Corps for sustenance, all right? This is how I made my living, is flying the Cobra gunship. I really enjoyed this. I had that captive audience, and I would preach and teach to those guys in the cockpit. They started calling me the Reverend. All right? So, but I loved it. God moved it in my life and He allowed me. And I was ready to get out after this, go to Bible school, but God said, hold on. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have prayed and God was silent? The older you get, maybe the more it's going to be profound. I prayed, says, Lord, where do I go to school? Where do I do now? And God was silent. So what do you do, folks, when God's silent? This is what we do. You just walk that path of obedience until God opens the door for you to walk through. Do you understand that? You got that, right? What do you do when God's silent? You walk that path of obedience. You do what He's told you to do. You do what He has you doing until He opens the right door. And let me tell you, folks, you'll know it's the right door because He'll open it wide. So wide that you can't help but do anything else but walk through it. You'll know it's of God. Young people, wait on God. There's one thing you need to do. Hey, there's the old pastor in his office walking like this back and forth in his office. And the deacon walked in and saw the pastor walking back and forth. Said, hey, pastor, what's wrong? Why are you pacing up and down? He says, I'm in a hurry, but God's not. Okay? I think we get that way. You know, the verse that God has given me this week, be still and know there is a God. We seldom do that in this time and day. We all need to be still and let God speak to our heart. So this is the way God allowed me, and he says, hold on, there's something I have for you to do. You don't know about it yet, but you just walk that path of obedience. So my wife and I spent 25 years together in a fundamental independent Baptist church, teaching, preaching, doing whatever we can, cleaning bathrooms, setting up chairs, nursery, whatever it was, top time I wanted, you name it, we did it, as God would teach us and train us. But God just didn't make me a pilot. Wherever you and I go, God wants us to be a missionary for Him. Our goal in life is to be salt and light where God has planted us. And that's the key. I get off in 1980, the maiden voyage of the USS Saipan across the northern Atlantic to Norway. I asked the XO of the ship, hey, can I hold a Bible study? He said, yeah, go ahead. That's all right. I didn't go to the chaplain because most of those guys aren't saved. And so the XO said, go ahead and do it. So I had the little Bible study on the ship. And on a ship, you have a great captive audience, by the way, 2,200 captive audience. They can't go anywhere, so we had a good time. I'd go around on the night watches, and these guys stand and watch on the ship and say, hey, man, where you go to church? Where are you from? Will you believe the Bible's the word of God? If you were to die today, or if we were to sink the ship, where'd your soul be? And they'd be talking with me, and then I'd witness to them, and it was great. Yeah. Carl got saved. Pat got saved. Joe got saved. We were having a great time on the ship, and I says, I can't wait to go to Bible school. Well, God said, hold on, Ryberg, you need to learn a little bit. A little bit of Bible study and prayer. I think that's key, folks. Do you think that's key to a Christian life?
Yes.
You know what I found out? If we don't study the Bible during the week, we can't get enough Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday to sustain us. Do you realize that? And it was 22 years ago, I made a vow to read my Bible through the rest of my life, every year. Every year. My wife and I, we were married in 1978 and 1979. In January, we read the Bible through verse by verse together. She was a great theologian, by the way. I didn't know much. She knew everything. She was a missionary kid. She memorized 300 Bible verses by the time she was in third grade. So, guys, marry a smart gal that knows the Bible. Amen? But it was so profound to do that. You see, when you read your Bible through every year, three chapters a day, by the way, folks, isn't much. It's 15 minutes a day. For a Marine, it's 20. Okay, that's all right. But that will give you God's strategic plan, His operational plan, and it'll take you right down to the trenches, right? And the tactical plan. So try that. Make that. Do something. But we need to study the Word of God. Not just read it, but study it every day. And then we need to pray like we've never prayed before in our life. I believe if there's one weakness in churches today, I'm talking fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches, is prayer. I believe that. Do you know the hardest work you and I have to do is the work of prayer? It's work. It's to clear our mind of junk. It's to clear our mind of circumstances. It's to clear our mind of everything. Get alone with God and touch His heart. Hey, when's the last time you really got into your secret prayer closet, Matthew 6:6, and that you climbed that sacred summit of prayer up to the throne of God and touched His heart with yours? I'm finding out the older I get, the more God wants to hear my heart more than He wants to hear my words. And folks, prayer, I believe, is the number one thing that's lacking in our lives. I'm trying to learn what it is to pray without ceasing. Every circumstance of every minute of every day, I said, Lord, You're in this. Help me understand why. Open that door. It's like having a cell phone that's always on. All right, Lord, help me now. My boss is getting on me. All right. Lord, help me now. This 18-wheeler about run me off the road. I mean, you're always talking and always asking God for help. But prayer, there's one other thing beside prayer, and that's faithlessness. Now, I'm going to ask a very, very pertinent question for this day and time. We're in a land of much. How do you and I live by faith when we have everything we want and need? And you know what? If we don't have it, we run down to Walmart and get it. How do you live by faith when you have everything you want and need? The challenge here is to live by faith having what we want and need, and then depend on God through a prayer life in a day and time in which we live. Yeah, you'll pay $5 for a gallon of gas if you have to go to work. Yeah, you're going to have to do this. I will say that in our country, we're lacking faithlessness, faith, and we're lacking prayer. I'm talking in good, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. God's teaching me here the importance of that. That's the challenge number three here as we continue. I learned a little bit about servanthood. You see this 3-star general? God put him in my life for 14 months. His face stopped freight train. I'm telling you, this guy, he was tough. And God put me there. I was Nehemiah in the king's court. I said, Lord, why am I doing this? To learn servanthood. I was his bond slave. See, we're nothing but servants of the Lord. It doesn't matter what the mission. It doesn't matter what the job at church. It doesn't matter what God's called us to do. We do it with the humble heart of a servant, a bond slave. That's what the Bible calls us. So the Lord's teaching me servanthood. He's also teaching me about missionary work. He sent us over to Okinawa, Japan. We worked with Dan Gardner, missionary to the Okinawans. And we were learning about foreign missions, learning about our own life, and learning about little OJT. And Pastor, then I got to purgatory, okay? This place... We call it, notice the smile is gone. You see that? This thing, Pentagon, folks, is still the largest office building in the world. 23,000 people a day come in and out of that building. A day, 23,000. So here I am. I'm on my way up the chain. I had a great, successful command tour in 1st Marine Air Wing. My generals love me as a son. I come to work in the Pentagon, work for the 3-star operations officer, work for the commandant of the Marine Corps as his service planner. I'd picked up 06, ready to be sent off on a fellowship, which is a very prestigious appointment to the Council of Foreign Relations in New York City, and ready to pick up after that my 06 Aviation Command, and was just going to go right up to pick up my star as a general. But God said, hold on. He says, you've been praying to get out. Guess what? It's time to go. I'm sitting there in September 1998, and it's clear as day. God reaches down from heaven at the same time when I said, well, Lord, I guess you just want me to be a Marine for 35 years. And at that time, when you unexpected, okay, when you expect it least, God will reach down and say, go, be a missionary. Hey, remember you surrendered to preach when you were a teenager. Remember that call to missions when you were in that missions conference? Hey, remember that Sunday school class that you need to teach? Hey, remember that bus you need to help on? God will reach down from heaven and move your heart to do something. You know what? I've been praying for all these years, 22 years, for God to call me out and use me. And at the same time God reached down from heaven, Satan is tempting me with continued promotion. So I found out in life, Satan will tempt you at the same time God will test you. Be prepared. He's going to test your heart to make sure you're real. And he's going to do it at a very unexpected moment. If you have not let go in your life and let God have his wonderful way, whether it's a ministry in this church or whether it's a calling to preach or be a missionary, you need to reconsider your heart this morning. Maybe God's reaching to you, but he called me out and he sent us to all places. He sent this Marine to an Air Force base. I got there on this Air Force base, brother, and they work 8 to 5 and get weekends off. Amen! Woo! Glory! I've never had that kind of hours in my life. 8 to 5 weekends off, and then he brought us to Faith Baptist Church, my dear pastor, Scott Baker and Jan. I said, Pastor, God's called us out, and we want to win the military for the Lord. We want to start at Scott Air Force Base. He said, hey, brother, we're going to help you. So, bless God, they did. Commissioned missionaries to the military before I even retired and was ordained into full-time ministry in 2002. So, praise God. Worldwide Military Baptist Missions. Local church ministry, helping churches reach the military with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God's will, God's way, done for his glory is through the local church. He gave us the church to evangelize and edify. And we're Baptist folks. We believe in the book. We believe in the blood, the blessed hope, baptism by immersion. And I think that I in Baptist means ice cream, all right? I've never met a good Baptist that didn't like ice cream. But we preach and teach it, praise God. Hey, you got to have a clear mission. You got to have a vision. Reaching those in uniform with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Rashid Lamb. My wife and I started Military Service Center for Christ. Go out on Scott Air Force Base, these guys would come in, and we saw 9 saved, 8 baptized during that year that we were over there. We were having a glorious time. A Muslim name gets gloriously saved, baptized, educated. Do you realize we have a mandate, all of us? Not just missionaries, not just pastors, but all of us. What's that first word? Do you know why we don't witness sometimes? Because we rarely get past the first word, go. Did you know if we would simply go, God would bless?
Amen.
If we would simply go, let me give you a challenge, another challenge. Pastor, am I giving too many challenges? Grab one of these tracts. You have them here in your church on my table. And I want you to take it with you and pray over it this afternoon. And ask God to give you a divine appointment this week, this afternoon. And do you believe God will do that? God will give you a divine appointment to go up, give this tract to somebody, and say, God loves you. He wants to see you in heaven if you were to die today, and this Bible tract will tell you how to do that. Simply give him the word of God. If we would go and do that, God would bless. He says, go out into all the world and do what? Preach! Brother Ryberg, I'm a lady, I can't preach. Hey, my wife preaches to me every day. What is the Greek word preach? Proclaim. Every one of us should be able to preach. No, you're not qualified to be a pastor. You got to understand that. But we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, every man, woman, and child in here. And he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. But he that believeth not shall be what? You see, the love of Christ compels us to go. But it's the fact that hell is at the end of a Christless life that also compels us to go. So the challenge is simply get tracts, pray over them, ask for a divine appointment, and go. Praise the Lord. And this is not a missions conference, but I just want to show you simple things that God's commanded us to do. Ye shall be witnesses where? In Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? Right here in Jasonville. All over this. And where's your Judea? All over Indiana, I believe. Where's your Samaria? All over the United States. Where's the uttermost parts of the earth? All over the nations of the world. That pretty much covers the spectrum. And folks, they need the Lord. Look at that. Do you know, as we're sitting here, there's 18-year-olds, some of them even 17, on patrols in countries all around the world. That's right. And they need the Lord. Our heart is to see them get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know we have 5 million in our mobilization forces? For the first time since World War II, Guard members are being deployed. How about that? And we're in a world war. But it's a very large mission field. Millions of retirees, veterans, and dependents, they're all over here. Thank God for you veterans here this morning. And tonight, by God's grace, we'll be recognizing all these wonderful veterans in this area. And but they're out there. 515 U.S. military installations on all 7 continents. We're spending $1 billion a day to keep them there, to fight and win this war, plus another $80 billion for the war effort. That's, and biblically, we saw this morning in Sunday school, biblically, it is correct to pay tribute for protection forces. Well, how do we do what we do? Well, we plant churches just like this one. Not quite as big when we get started, all right? But we plant churches near military bases if they do not have a good, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church. Or like in the case of El Paso, they're getting 15,000 more Army soldiers right there on that base. So we're going to try to get a church right next to that base. Jose Serrano, you'll see him here, so he can witness to them right there. in Fort Bliss. First service held on 28 January. They've had 20 saved or baptized since they initiated their church. And the soldiers love this man. He's a retired Marine. That speaks to the heart. Vicenza Baptist Church, an Army man here, Tracy Underwood, over there overseas. They're getting 5,000 new people over at that base in Italy. Boy, you get away from home, you get away from America, your church becomes your family. And they need a home away from home, those soldiers. Military Service Centers for Christ. This is that home away from home. If there is a good church near that base, what we want to do is provide a place for a Christian to bring their unsaved friends. See them get saved. See them to be discipled in Christ. Randy's out there at Scott Air Force Base with his wife, Sherry. War Zone Overseas Ministries. How many of you know somebody in the war zone by name? How many? Look at this. Look at this. Every church I go into, I see hands like this all over congregations. And tell me this isn't World War III. Tell me this isn't World War III. No less than 20, 25 people raise their hands. By the way, if you know somebody by name, and if you can get their APO or FPO address, we will send the unsaved man or woman a nice little package like your pastor puts together. Very good package. We will send the saved person a very wonderful package with discipleship kits, Bible memorization books, CD-ROMs like Sword Searcher, Bible Searcher. It's great CD-ROM programs. We'll send the guy that's apt to teach a complete kit to hold a Bible study. And folks, there's no atheists in a foxhole. I'm going to be serious.
Amen.
They're over there asking the greatest questions of life.
Yes.
Who am I?
Right.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
What happens when I die? My. And they're seeking the answers of life. So, Brother Sam Lewis, Camp Lejeune, these five guys got saved in his Bible study over there. And he was just simply faithful to hold a Bible study aboard ship, USS Simpson, Dwayne Sorrell. We have an Army major here. Went to Saudi Arabia, Riyadh. How many of you have been to the desert? Anybody in here been to the desert yet? Well, amen. He's over there in Saudi Arabia. You can't turn in the yellow pages to find the closest fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptist church. Christianity's outlawed. So he says, Brother Ryberg, what do we do? I says, Daryl, we're going to start a church in the embassy compound. We sent him over Bibles, Betty Lukin's flannel graph, Sunday school material, and it all went through his diplomatic pouch at the embassy, didn't go through customs. He gets everything, and he was running within a year and a half, running 80 people in that embassy compound. You see, this is how God works. If a man is found faithful, this is it. So this is how we help out veterans ministries. We love to see veterans like those in this church simply go to a veteran's home and hand out Bibles, books, and New Testaments and tracts and just give them an option to choose Christ. Go into hospitals when you go to your VA hospital. Sitting there in the ready room or the waiting room. You pass out tracts, read books, put New Testaments out, witness to the guys up and down the hallway. So this is key. Hey, they're dying at 1,000 a day. The veterans of World War II, Korea. 1,000 a day. The average Vietnam veteran is 59 years old. Right now, 59, 60. So Veterans Homes and Hospitals, Brother Ken Young is out there. Dwayne is also helping him. So thank God for that. Can you believe that was 4.5 years ago? Isn't that something? And I still can't get over that there's protesters. Hey, this guy, whether you like him or not, he's a genius. At age 70,
yes, sir.
At age 70, 5 years ago, he set everything aside, his millions, to become a public servant to our nation in a time at war. And his strategy, his intelligence, everything that he brought to the table to transform the military, he's done it. I don't care what you hear about the media. I don't care what you hear about this man, whether you like him or not. God stood him up. He's 75 years old. And if you listen to this man speak, he speaks the truth. He knows what's going on. He knows they're jihadist killers, not insurgents. He knows it's a war on religion. And he knows it's what's right, and that's why the media doesn't like him. But the man's a genius. God stood him up for a time as this. I walked that building for 3 years. 17.5 miles of corridor hallways. I'd get lost even in my third year of that tour there at the Pentagon. But I knew we were a target. We all knew it. How many times did they try to get the World Trade Towers before they finally got it? Didn't they try twice before? Shouldn't that key us on something? But I tell you, it happened. Bloodthirsty killers. But let me point this out. This 9/11 commission was bogus. This is a politically agenda-moved commission. Have we had terrorism before in this country? What about this? Okay, this was before 9/11. It's a year before. How about 23 years ago, this young captain over in Beirut, Lebanon in 82, 83, doing exactly what they're doing in Baghdad, patrolling this green line, separating the Islamic Muslims from the, quote, Muslim Lebanese Catholic Christians, Israeli Defense Force from the Syrians. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Israeli Defense Force from the Syrians. Israel's a nation. Yes. They're fighting the Assyrians. Have you read that somewhere before?
Yes.
You think this is the end times? Do you think God's moving? I really believe He is. But we've had terrorism for a long time. My buddies were blown up. 241. My buddies were blown up in this. I should be dead three times, by the way. It's only by the grace of God I'm in front of you today. It's only by the grace of God you're here, by the way. And but that was Yasser Arafat moved into Beirut, Lebanon, and Yasser Arafat and his Hamas and Hezbollah plotted this demise of these Marines. I want you to understand that. These are all terrorists. And this is what gets me. In 1984, our country outlawed the PLO under Ronald Reagan. And now we want to make them a nation state? God forbid. God forbid. That shows you the dilemma that's going on in this world this very moment. And this is what's happening in front of our very eyes. We need to get serious. We're in harm's way. This is a global war on terrorism. The jihadists, not insurgents, jihadists have vowed to do what? Kill all who? Why Americans and Jews? I'll tell you why. Because Allah is not our God. All right? Our country founded on the God of the Bible, the God of Israel. We have to understand that. That's why they have openly and publicly said we're going to kill as many as Americans. By the way, what is the only nation in the world that supports the nation of Israel? The United States of America. That's it. Man, you go over to Europe and they call the Jews the Christ killers. I've been through all those countries. I know. All this is something. And all this junk on the Da Vinci Code and all that. You know, that's fiction junk. But Satan's using it to deceive. And remember, the Bible said that was going to happen in the end times. Deceive almost to the point where it's very own. I tell you, this is something how God is moving. Hey, it's a spiritual war, folks. This is not just a physical war. It's spiritual. And it's not against the Arab people. Please understand that. We need to pray for their souls. God is opening the 1040 window to the Arab nations through the U.S. military forces. You'll hear more about that tonight. But it's a war against Islam. Hey, these are evil men. Pray for their soul. Hate their sin. And the sanctity of life is at stake. God said, whosoever sheddeth a man's blood, his blood shall be what? Shed. And that's what God said. It's actually an act of love. Get this now. It's an act of love to take the life of those shedding innocent blood so they will kill no more. That's it. And that's why God ordains the taking of life of those who murder innocent people. God ordains that. Taking prisoners. I think we got about 48 out of 55 right now. We've done very well. Thank God our armed forces are doing a great job. Don't let anybody kid you. I've read reports from Marine Colonel Regimental Commanders. He is over one-third of Baghdad, and he said you can walk down the streets, you can buy and sell, you can do all this stuff. Don't believe the media. There's 50 million people in that country, and they'll show a bomb, kill five people. They've been doing that for thousands of years. You're not going to stop them overnight or in 2 or 3 years. But things are going wonderful over there. Why don't we get that picture? Why don't we get that picture? God's ministers of righteousness. I'll tell you, God's moving. Oh, I tell people, hey, why is this guy smiling? Because he's not, all right? Yeah. Yeah, this guy didn't get his purple finger. He didn't get to vote, all right? He's there. People ask me, hey, Brother Ryberg, how did we catch that guy? I said, well, let me call my buddy up at the Pentagon. And my buddy said, hey, I'll send you our secret weapon. This is how we did it. He said, we caught him. He's in jail. He's being tried. And this is our secret weapon. That's right. Hey, there was a guy from West Virginia that was on this council. He went back home. He says, hold on, I got it. He found the five best ground squirrels he could find. Gave him a little bit of light armor, okay, a little bit of weaponry, and said, okay, you got 2 days to get them. Within 48 hours, they found this guy, and they said, if you pop your head up, we're going to blow it off. And they radioed back, and we went and got him. That's how we did it. So, praise God. Hey, biblically now, this is biblically, we have a mandate. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, but first of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for who? All men. That's all mankind, okay? That's every man, woman, and child on this earth. Why? Because verse 4 tells us God desires for them to come to the knowledge of truth, which is the gospel of Christ. What is truth? I am the truth. I am the resurrection. I am the life. So God wants us to pray for souls. Folks, if we're not praying for souls, don't expect any to be saved. You see, your prayers touch the heart of an unchanging God. And through our prayers touching God's heart, God draws the hearts of mankind unto Him. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their eyes are opened, and they choose to be gloriously saved. But without our prayers moving the heart of God to move their hearts towards the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think that's why souls are not being saved. How's your prayers? That's a challenge. Is our prayer life what it should be? And then it says, pray for kings, those in authority over us, that we may what? Have a peaceful and godly life. You know why wickedness reigns in this country? Besides judges who want to make law instead of interpret law, okay? It's because our prayers for our leaders, I'm talking about our mayors, our governors, our state representatives, state senators, all these people. We need to pray that God moves on their heart to get saved, get right, and obey and abide by God's law, God's Bible. Folks, let's pray like we've never prayed before. How is our prayer life? I'm finding out again, the older I get, everything we do depends on our relationship through our prayer, through our Lord. Hey, if you love somebody, are you going to talk to them? Now listen to me. The great commandment is simply this: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you really love somebody that much, if Jesus Christ is the main object of our affection, would you want to talk to him? Hey, men, go 24 hours without talking to your wife. Ladies, take 24 hours. Don't talk to your husband. Do you get much communication going on that day? Sometimes we just shut out God like that. I really believe, men, if we loved our wives like Christ loved the church, we'd want to talk to them. We want to ask them for help to be the best husband we can be. Our prayer life. Lord, help us to pray. We have a long way to go in this war on terrorism. They're on the offensive. That's how you win a fight. You don't win a fight by standing and hanging around town. You win a fight by taking it to them. And you go win that fight. And as they do that, they live in the valley of the shadow of death. They don't know if they're coming back from the next patrol. And talk about chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons of mass destruction. They were there. He used them on his own people. He used them on the Iranians. Do you know how much it would take to sneak out a suitcase of sarin He's got sarin laboratories all underground, all over that desert. He has them in mobile laboratories that they drive in and out of the country. The weapons of mass destruction is seen in sarin. A suitcase of sarin that was smuggled that's sitting right now in the Bekaa Valley of Syria with the rest of the stuff. A suitcase of sarin put on a crop duster, circled around an open-air Cardinal Stadium in St. Louis, would kill 40,000 people like that. In 5 minutes, they're dead. Yes, there were weapons of mass destruction. Yes, they were there. Yes, all this is a bunch of political hype. But it's a global threat, folks. Nuclear, this guy, he's dangerous. Now, if this doesn't let you know we're at the end of the end times, you need to get your heart right today. If you were ever going to pray, this is now the time to pray. If you were ever going to serve God, we'd best be on it. Hey, pray for our troops. Thank God for them. Hooah! Got our infantry guys out there. Praise God for them. Airborne! Praise God, they get money paid to do that. Can you believe it? Praise the Lord. Reconnaissance, swift, silent, deadly. They're out there doing the work. And all these nations all over the world, they're out there fighting and winning this war. The cavalry, special ops guy, look at this. He's got a laser pointer where he can point into a cave a half mile away, and a 2,000-pound bomb with a laser-guided munition comes roaring down, blows that cave up and everything in it all over Afghanistan. Bunkers all over Iraq. He's got a satellite push-button phone where he can be talking to the National Military Command Center of the Pentagon just with one push of a button. Phenomenal. He's got a global positioning device where he knows wherever he is within 1 meter of the Earth's surface. And check it out. He's riding a horse. He's riding a horse. This is what's going on in today's warfare. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, the Bible clearly tells us simply this. Jesus Christ is coming back riding a what? That's right, you didn't know animals were in heaven, did you? Huh? All right? So he's coming back, riding a white horse, and he's going to be the commander at the Valley of Megiddo. My Bible tells me 200 million people will die, and the blood will flow where? Right there. You think 200 million people in that Valley of Megiddo, which is in northern Israel, which is going to be the place where China comes over through that superhighway they're building through India, Russia will come down, Europe will come down, and it's going to be a fight that you and I are going to be coming back, if you're saved, with our Savior to fight. And what is the weapon he chooses, his weapon of choice? They say he has a sword in his mouth, which is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any what? He's going to win it with his Word. Praise God. I get motivated, folks. I don't know about you, but that motivates me. Hey, over there, there's artillery shooting the big guns, hitting those targets. Look at that. Them hideouts, they're doing it. Hey, pray for the guys that are up there. They're in the air. This B-52, look at this. The terrorists have won the toss and have elected to receive. Hey, we didn't start this war. We didn't start it. We gave them 3 months to give themselves up. We told them, and all they did was hunker down and get rid of all their stuff so we wouldn't find it. But it's coming, folks. It's coming. Still flying those missions, F-18s launching off those carriers, C-17 Globemaster. You know how much water, ammunition, and food and fuel it takes to run 135,000 troops in a war zone? Until you've ever been responsible for that, you just don't understand what it takes to get it over there. It is phenomenal what our guys are doing. Doing a great job. Crew chiefs, B1 out there, working those flight lines and all those things. Oh, where's Osama bin Laden? Yeah. Yeah. Where is he? Huh? Yeah. Hey, let me just say this about old Osama. Everybody says, why don't we get him? Why don't we get him? Sometimes your enemy is more valuable to you alive than he is dead. So don't be so concerned about that. You get a lot of information. You don't want to kill him off yet. But if you have him pinned down somewhere where he can't get out, hint, hint, all right, he may still be useful. All right, by the way, don't believe what you read in these papers. Don't believe what you hear in the media. I used to work in the National Military Command Center, and we used to feed these guys wrong stuff just to deceive. Let me tell you why we did it. Guess who watches CNN? Guess who watches that communist news network, CNN, all right? It is the guys that are fighting against us. And they'll report anything. A source from the Pentagon said. All right, protection forces out there doing a great work. Pastor, do you know why a dog is a man's best friend? They don't talk back, amen? They agree with everything you say, just not they wag their tongue and not their tails, I know. Pray for these guys on the sea. Hey, we got some neat ships. We got ships that are sailing in the Mediterranean Sea that can shoot a $1.2 million Tomahawk missile. Comes out of that ship, it'll fly 800 nautical miles, fly into the window of the building of your choice and blow it to smithereens with a 2,500-pound warhead. Isn't that something? We have submarines, nuclear ballistic submarines, that are silently slipping around the seas around the world as we sit here. At the beckoning call of the President of the United States, buttons could be pushed on those nuclear submarines that will launch an intercontinental ballistic missile with multiple nuclear warheads on that missile, and it can destroy cities around the earth at the same time. It can destroy Tokyo, Tehran, you name it. It can destroy any multiple cities at any one given time. That's a pretty powerful nation, but listen to this. If there's one lone terrorist that we don't know where he's from, all we know he's a jihadist terrorist, and they reside in every country of the world. You understand that? Terrorists reside in every country. If one lone terrorist with a nuclear device would go into downtown Atlanta one day and detonate it, and a million people are killed just like that, who do you retaliate against if you do not know where this terrorist is from? How do you prove he's Iranian? How do you prove he was from Saudi Arabia? How do you prove he was from Iraq or Afghanistan? You see what I mean? You see what we're up against? The most powerful military forces in the world could be powerless at the hands of one lone terrorist. I think God puts people that way. He puts nations that way. Nations that forget him. And I just want to let you know, we may be the most powerful military force in the world, but not at the hands of a lone terrorist with a nuclear device. Something to think about. The Big Stick, Teddy Roosevelt. Boy, what a beautiful ship. 6,000 sailors on that captive audience. Bible studies are going on that ship even as we speak. Have a Navy officer going to the USS Enterprise here in 2 weeks. We're going to send him 1,000 New Testaments to pass out on that ship. I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful. So this is what our vision. Reach the air crew out there flying those airplanes. Praise the Lord for all they're doing. Land, air, or sea, it doesn't matter. Our heart, our goal, whether it's staff work, whether it's on parade, if they're in uniform or in combat, they need what? They need the Lord before it's too late. Funerals are going on in this country every week. If either a veteran is dying or a man on active duty, they're over there dying in this war. There's a price to pay in war. The widow's flag's being passed again this week over and over. I'll never forget, Pastor, one of the most difficult times I ever had was when I was at the Pentagon. They asked me to be an honor guard for a Korean veteran that's being buried in Arlington National Cemetery. From my office, I could see Arlington National Cemetery. So I'm out there on a January morning in my blues in front of the coffin of a Korean veteran, and they're doing the 21-gun salute. Taps are being played. They're folding the flag. I'm looking at the widow, the family. I'm crying more than they are. I'm weeping. I'm looking down on the coffin, and I don't know where a soul is. I took that flag, they folded it up, and I got down and says, "Ma'am, on behalf of a grateful nation, I present you this flag for your husband's service to his country." And I'm weeping, and she's looking at me. And I just, my heart burdened to ask her, not the right place, not the right time, but my heart's burdened to our men and ladies now that have died defending our country. My heart goes out that they would be in heaven at least get the gospel before they would perish. There's no atheist in a foxhole. The ultimate sacrifice is being given. You will pray over your fallen comrade. The time is right. The time is now. In times like these, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's a man or woman in uniform, whether it's your next door neighbor, whether it's Jacksonville, whether it's the uttermost parts of the earth. It is our world's greatest need. And I think, as Revelation 1:3 would simply say this, the time is at a hand. If there ever was a time to get out the gospel, it's time now. And I want to thank you as a church for, number one, praying like we should be praying for souls. Number two, producing missionaries. There could be somebody here this morning, young or old alike, that still has not made that commitment to go, even though God's moved on your heart to do it. And to provide for missionaries. You do all three of these here at this church. Continue to do so. Increase in it. We need your help. God may be calling you. Don't be afraid to obey. Step out. Follow Him wherever He goes. And our goal is that they would never say that no man cared for my soul. So we share our burden with you. We're a faith-based ministry. We ask churches to help plant churches, start service centers, help us work that war zone ministry. We're out there sending them Bibles, sending them New Testaments, sending them Bible memorization, sending them discipleship kits, sending them great quality tracts. We're sending them Bible CD-ROMs. We're getting everything we can into their hands so that they can share the gospel of Christ with those in the war zone. Hey, here it is. The rewards are eternal. And we're done. We're finished. But I want to leave you with this thought. I've challenged your heart this morning, I hope. I hope I challenge it knowing that you're in God's perfect divine will. If not, number one, you need to get saved to find it. If you've never accepted Christ, this morning is the morning to do so. Number two, if you've not prayed for God's perfect divine will, if you're not in it and you need to get it right this morning, start praying and walk in that path of obedience. If you've not been found faithful in your service to your Lord, this morning's the time to make that decision. If your prayer life isn't what it should be, this morning's the time to get it right. If you haven't been studying and reading your Bible and you know you should and let God speak to your heart through the Word of God, hey, make this day the very day that you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to do that. I am going to read my Bible. I'm going to read it through. I'm just going to do that. And here's the bottom line on a missions conference. The only thing you and I are storing in heaven is that which we are giving away here on earth. That's talking about your time. That's talking about your talents, your gifts. And that's talking about the treasures, all that God has given to you. Your time, your talents, your gifts, your treasures. The only thing we're storing in heaven is that which we're giving away here on earth. Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what we do? All for the glory of God. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this church. Thank you for Pastor Ross. Lord, thank you for their love for thee, and thank you for this program tonight. Lord, I pray that you would open doors and hearts and have people come out to hear the Word of God preached, to hear music that will stir their heart. So, Lord, be in the evening service. I pray for that. May thy will be done there. And, Lord, this morning, as we would conclude this service, I can't help but think in a crowd this large that there is somebody here that needs to accept you as their personal Savior, to receive you into their heart. And, Lord, if there's a Christian here this morning that has something in their life that's preventing them from accomplishing your perfect divine will, may this be the day that they surrender all to thee. Lord, help us. We're needy people. We need help reading our Bible. We need help praying like we've never prayed before. And Lord, I pray for these young men and women, the veterans of our nation that made us free so that we could preach and teach the Word of God freely in this nation still. I pray that you would move their hearts towards thee. And here in their Jerusalem and Jacksonville, Lord, give them the power to go out and be the witness, to be salt and light that they should be. Help me in my life as I would do it, Lord, all of us, as we would go, as we would give, as we would teach, as we would preach, as we would tell and pray. Oh God, we're a needy people. Lord, meet the needs of hearts this morning. And we pray this in thy precious name. Amen.